Good morning. It is good to see you here. It is really good to see you here. We've had more snow days fall on Sunday this year than I can ever remember anyway. So you do get extra points for being here on a snow day and for losing an hour of sleep. So that's, God bless you. Though for the first service, I told them it was like in Scrabble, triple word score with an X and a Z points, because they were here like for a 9 o'clock service. So it is good to see you as we worship together. A few announcements that we have. Let's do the video to start with.
Thank you.
Just glad I'm not wearing the same shirt. Now, for those who have memories and have been here for a little while, that is the video for last year's retreat. We don't have a video for this year's retreat, so we thought, why not? It's been a long time since anybody saw it. Registrations are way down this year for the retreat, and it's a question as whether we're going to be able to do it or not. So today is the deadline. We have to let the camp know first thing tomorrow what's happening. So if you're planning on going, please see Jeremy in Campbell Hall and sign up so that we know the numbers, and we will announce soon if we're going to have to cancel. Right at the moment, it looks like we probably will be canceling. But it's there if you're able to go and want to go. A few other announcements. If you would like to join the choir for Easter, they would love to have you. Practices are on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, and you could come along for that. There are two inserts in your bulletin today. One is entitled, How to Give to St. Paul's Church, and that is, it's more for new people, but it is for everyone. Last week at the AGM, Ryan announced that you can now give to St. Paul's online. And that's a thing. So the instructions on how to do that are there. You can go to the church website. We use Tithely as the platform for that. You could also download the Tithely app and you could give through that. So you could actually, during the offering time, if you wanted to donate with a credit card, you could do it during the offering time through the app. So all the instructions are there about envelopes, PAR, and electronic giving. If you have any questions, speak to one of the finance guys. Either Ryan or Wayne would be able to speak to you about that. The other one, pardon me, is a survey from the worship action team for the visioning. And that's basically just to ask you a number of questions about worship services and preferences and that kind of thing. So if you could fill that out, I figure it would take between 5 and 6.5 minutes to fill out. If you could fill it out and either leave it at the front pew if you come out the front door, or leave it on the back pew if you go out the back door, that would be awesome. And Carolyn is going to speak to us.
Morning. I'm happy to see you too. I've been given the privilege of telling you what singing in the St. Paul Senior Choir has meant to me. I joined because my mother invited me. At the time, I had no outlet by which to express my love of music, and the choir welcomed me back after I'd been away a long time. They made me feel very welcome. I love singing for Mr. and Mrs. Talbot. Their passion for the music and for the Lord is evident and made extremely clear to us each week. They put the Lord first in all of our anthems, and we end each rehearsal with a prayer. And usually someone has already been approached to do something like that, but no one is forced to. I want you to know that no one has to read music to be in the choir. We have excellent resources. They provide us with learning MP3 tracks for us to get familiar between Thursdays. I am so grateful. That was an aside. I didn't want to forget to tell you that part. I'm so grateful for the choir. On evenings when I feel as if I have nothing more to give and I really don't feel like going out, I show up to rehearsal on a Thursday evening and feel fed by the Holy Spirit. I feel so blessed to be a member of this choir. We are truly a family. Many have had some personal struggles over the years. Their struggles become the struggles of us all. We pray for one another and lift one another up. The music lifts us up on a weekly basis in ways that are indescribable. You can feel the Spirit move you in the music. I feel so blessed to be a member and to have the privilege to serve the Lord in this way. If you've been looking for a way to serve, or a different way to serve, or just feel like giving voice to your love of music, please consider joining the choir. Starting this Thursday evening, we're preparing our music for Easter, and it will lift you up. You can and will be better for singing the word of the Lord and being a conduit for his message during the service. I'm blessed, and you will be too. Consider membership in the choir. If not membership, then do visit us for the Easter season. You won't be sorry.
Thank you, Carolyn. A good choir evangelist you are. Let us prepare to worship God. We worship God in a variety of ways. We sing his praises. We listen to music to be inspired. We read God's word. We hear God's word expressed in sermon. We pray and offer our hearts to the Lord and hope and expect to hear from him as well. And probably most of all, we bow ourselves before the Lord. We bow our wills to God's will. And that is the truest and the best worship. So let us worship. Let us sing his praises, hear his word, offer prayers to him, and let us bow our wills to the Lord. Let us worship God. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you because of all that you are, who you have revealed yourself to be, the Almighty, the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You have revealed that you are righteous and just. You have revealed that you are compassionate and gracious. You have revealed that you are holy and you are merciful. And you have revealed that you are love. We bow before you in worship. We submit our wills to you because of who you are. But even more, we bow in worship and submit our wills to you because of who you are in Jesus. That at the fullness of time, you, O God, became human in Jesus to live amongst us, to live for us, to die for us on the cross, to rise again and to be raised to the Father's right hand. All to save us, all to forgive us, all to make us your own and adopt us as your own children. And we worship you, Lord. We bow our wills before you because we know that you are with us. By your Holy Spirit, you are present in this place and present in our lives day by day, moment by moment. You are with us. We celebrate before you. We sing your praises. We pray to you, Lord, acknowledging you. And we bow our wills to you. Bless us, we pray, with your grace, with your love, and with your mercy. We are sinners, Lord. As much as we strive not to be, still we are. And so we pray that you would forgive us in Jesus, that you would make us new in Jesus, that you would heal our brokenness in Jesus, that we should live for you this day and all days. Our God, all these prayers we offer you in confidence and hope and assurance of your grace in Christ. And we offer these prayers in Jesus' name as we continue to pray together our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word.
Psalm this morning is Psalm 16, page 538 in the Pew Bible. Excuse me. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good things. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are noble, ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out my libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen me in the pleasant places. Surely I have delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my God is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see me decay. You make me known to me in the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My eternal pleasure is at your right hand. May God bless his holy word. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. up front, please. Well, I'm really glad to see you guys this morning. I don't know. Where are they? They must have got scared because of all the snow. Hi, Allison.
My sister, I think my sister's coming.
Okay. Is she coming down now? Or just, oh, we'll wait. We'll go ahead. So, we've been talking, we started last week on our new unit, and we've been talking about who? Come on, guess. Yeah. All about Jesus, right? All about Jesus. And last week, we talked about friends taking a man, and what did he do with that man? Do you remember? Do you remember the man was, he couldn't walk, a hint. And his friends, what did they do with him? Yep.
Cut a hole in the roof and lowered him down.
They did. Jesus was in someone's house, and he was talking to the people, and it was so packed. These friends, they brought their friend that couldn't walk. They brought him on a mat, and when they got to the door of the house, they couldn't get in, right? They did. So like Allison said, they went up on the roof and they lowered him down because they were his friends, right? And they wanted to help him. And they knew if they took him to Jesus, that Jesus would do something. And what did Jesus do? Exactly. He not only healed the man, he healed him and told him to get up and walk, and he told him that his sins were forgiven, that he was right with God now, and his sins were forgiven. Jesus did amazing things like that. Now, we're going to go upstairs today, and we're going to find out what Jesus did today. It's kind of a different thing, but we're going to find out, because Jesus, throughout the Bible, he does amazing things, and we can learn from him, okay? And last week we were learning that it's really good to have friends to help you in bad times and in good times, right? We need our friends and we need to be helpful to our friends. Let's pray together before we go out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for friends. And help us to learn from Jesus and be faithful to our friends too. We pray this in his name. Amen. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
Let's pray together. Our loving God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that opens your word to us. We pray that you would bless us, that we would be open to all that you would say. For your glory and for our blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Being there.
Thank you. Our scripture reading is in two parts this morning. We're reading Genesis 45, verses 1 to 8 to start with, and then a passage in Genesis 50. We've been following Joseph's story over the last several weeks, and we come to the point as this passage begins, as God had revealed in Joseph's dream, his brothers have already bowed down to him, but did not recognize him in doing so. Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." And then turning to Genesis 50, reading verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I've told parts of this story before, but I don't think I've told it as completely as this, though it's not the complete story. But just wanted to share with you in the context of what we're talking about with vision. I had a vision for my life. It was clear, and I believed thoroughly that it was of God. So I made all the major decisions of my life in terms of accomplishing the vision. As I've told before, from the time I was 11 years old, I wanted to be an architect. And I was just fascinated by plans and drawings and how those lines on paper could become an amazing building. In high school, my course selection was all geared towards getting into one of the universities that had architecture schools. I discovered that it's not easy to get into those schools and grades count, so I upped my game. Sorry, Mom, it took that for me to up my game, but I did. The day before university applications were due, a classmate of mine was wandering the halls at Bell High School, muttering, "I have to decide what I'm going to do with the rest of my life by tomorrow." I'd known for 7 years what I was going to do with the rest of my life. When the acceptance letters were sent out by the universities, I got rejection from Toronto, rejection from Waterloo, and I got a conditional acceptance at Carleton. I was put on the wait list, so I waited. I waited fairly patiently. I wondered what I might do if I wasn't accepted, but I was so sure that this was from God that I didn't fuss about that much at all. And then the letter came. I was in. My dream, my vision, it was all coming together. I was pretty good at what I did in the school. Pretty good at the main design class. The prof would select usually about three, maybe four, out of the whole class of designs of a project that was done to present them to the entire first year and to discuss them and talk about them. And my designs were selected a few times through that period. It was a really heavy course load. It was a five-year degree. There were 35 hours of classes and about another 35 hours of work on top of that to accomplish. It was a really heavy load. The week a project was due, projects were all due on Friday at 5 p.m., you got very little sleep. Sunday night, you tried to get a whole night. Monday night was about 4 hours. Tuesday night was about 3 hours. Wednesday night was maybe 2-3 hours. Thursday, nobody slept. You just worked all the way through. I did pretty well in first year. I was pleased with what I had accomplished. Second year was a different story. It was 1981, and if you have memories that go back that far, you will remember there was a pretty horrendous recession going on in Canada. Nobody was building buildings, so the Ontario Association of Architects told the schools, don't be graduating students because there's no jobs for them. And so discouragement was the theme of the day at the school. And I was discouraged. And I failed second year. Now, I could have repeated it on probation, but my heart was no longer in my vision. And it was that summer that God very, very clearly, like 2x4 to the forehead clearly, made his vision known to me for the rest of my life. He wanted me to be a plumber. No, that wasn't it, actually. He wanted me to be a pastor in his church, and it was so clear and it was so sure. I did do the Gideon thing. I put up a couple fleeces just to check, right? I was sure, but maybe others weren't sure. So my fleeces were Mom and Dad to check to see if they thought it was a good idea, and surprisingly, they thought it was a good idea. The other one was Grace. We were not yet engaged, but we both knew that we were going to be spending our lives together, and so I had to check with her, because being married to an architect is different than being married to a pastor, and she couldn't have been more supportive. So that was it. New vision, new focus, new plan. In reflection, at the time and afterwards, that second year, I did feel that the profs had selected a number of us in the class to fail us. I think that was pretty clear. But at the same time, God took that and used it for the good he wanted to do, for the vision that he had for me. And though Joseph's story is very different from mine, Joseph came to the same conclusion, saying to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish his vision, to do his will." Now, this is our last day looking at the Joseph story for now. Who knows about the future? Joseph was hated by his brothers because of his favored status by their father, because of the dreams that he had that said they'd bow down to him, sold into slavery, did well as a slave, but then was falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit and was put into prison, and through all kinds of strange circumstances ended up as Pharaoh's right-hand man, as governor of all of Egypt, managing the entire country through 7 years of prosperity and then into years of famine. And that's where we pick up the story from last week. And we're looking at, literally, from chapter 42 through to 50 for that whole chunk, but we're only touching on bits as we go through. Famine had broken out in the land, but Joseph's plan was working. Through the 7 years of prosperity, they banked a lot of the food that had been grown so that in the famine they had food to sell to people. But the famine had also extended to Canaan, where Joseph's family lived, where Jacob and his family were. And so Jacob sent all but one of his remaining sons to Egypt to go and to buy food and to bring it back for the family. The 10 brothers presented themselves before the governor of Egypt, who would decide whether or not they could buy food. So there's Joseph and his 10 brothers bowing down to him, just like the dream that God had given to him, told him. Now, Joseph recognized his brothers, of course he would. But they didn't recognize him, and why would they? They hadn't seen him for years and years, and when last they saw him, he was a slave. You don't expect to see your slave brother as the governor of all Egypt. Joseph toyed with them. He played with their minds. It was kind of mean-spirited, but they had done far worse to him. In the end, he sold them the food, but he kept Simeon, one of the brothers, as a hostage so that the other brothers would return home and bring Joseph's little brother, Benjamin, with them the next time they came. The brothers returned home with the food that Joseph had sold them, and they discovered that Joseph had returned to them the money they used to buy the food, had returned it and put it in their bags. When the food ran out, the brothers returned to Egypt to buy more, this time with Benjamin. And again, the brothers, all of them, bowed down before this governor of Egypt. And again, Joseph toyed with them. I encourage you to read the story. It's quite incredible, the stuff that he did, toying with them when they didn't understand and know who he was. But in our reading this morning, in our first reading, we read about the big reveal. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. And I can picture it in my mind as Joseph is standing there in his full robes of a high official of Egypt, and the brothers are there, and confusion at the words gives way to disbelief, which very quickly gave way to terror as they recognized him, because they remembered what they had done to their young brother, and now that brother had power of life and death over them. I wonder, as I read this story, if when Joseph revealed himself, if those brothers remembered the dreams. Dreams that said they would bow down to Joseph, because they had already done so several times by this point. That was the big reveal when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. But there was a bigger reveal, a more important reveal that followed. And now, Joseph said to the brothers, and now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. That's one. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you, that's two, to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me, but God, three times. He made me father to Pharaoh and lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. The bigger reveal was that Joseph was giving the revelation of God's vision for his life and for the life of the family. When Joseph was just 17 years old, God gave him dreams that said his brothers would bow down to him. And there they are. There they are, bowed down to the little brother who tells them that this was all part of God's plan, God's revelation, God's vision to save the family. Joseph sent his brothers back home again to go to fetch Jacob, their father, and the rest of the family to bring them back to Egypt. And they did so, and they settled in Goshen in Egypt. And Joseph provided for them. Jacob lived in Egypt another 17 years. But then when Jacob died, Joseph's brothers again became fearful that Joseph would want to take revenge on them for what they had done. They became fearful of Joseph because of what they had done to him 39 years before. Guilt. Guilt has a long, long shelf life. Joseph's response was gracious and full of understanding of God's vision and plan. And Joseph said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." A vision is a place that we want to be in the future. Followers of Jesus want that vision, that place in the future, to be of God's will, to be part of God's plan. And we have visions for our lives, and we make plans, and we set goals to achieve those visions. But all kinds of things can happen to us along the way. All kinds of things that can cause us to question the vision or to wonder if it truly is of God. Joseph's story tells us not to give up, but to be faithful to the Lord in continuing to use our gifts that he has given to us, continuing to press on to the vision that the Lord gives us. If our vision is not of God, if it is our will but not God's will, he will make that known. May not be right away, But he will make his will known to us. I believe my vision for architecture was part of God's plan. It just wasn't the whole vision that he had for me. It was a waypoint. I had to go through that experience to get to the place where he revealed his fuller vision to me. I'm not sure I would have heard the call to ministry if it wasn't for those 2 years. That was also true of Joseph. Joseph's life was a roller coaster. It had a path that was so convoluted, but Joseph's access to Pharaoh was through prison. God will see his will done. God will see his vision accomplished. Of course, that begs a hard question. Was it God's will for Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery? You see, because slavery is kind of an evil thing. So did God will it for the brothers to sell him into slavery? I believe God used it. Joseph himself said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God used the actions of the brothers in getting Joseph to Egypt, in getting Joseph to Pharaoh. But I believe if his brothers had not sold him into slavery, God would have found another way of getting Joseph to Egypt, another way of getting Joseph into Pharaoh's company, because it was God's vision to save many people, to save Abraham's family and the covenant. As we each look at the visions that God has for us in our lives and the future that we have planned out, there are things that we need to do along the way. We need to trust the Lord. We need to trust him and the plan that he has for us, because God is faithful and he will lead us. He will see his will done. The path may end up being convoluted. It may be hard and difficult and even treacherous, but he will see his will done. He will see his vision achieved. We need to be faithful to him, holding to the path that he has set before us, not being tempted off of it, not being taunted off of it, not seeing something shiny and new and just wandering off of it. And we need to use our skills and our talents and our gifts to achieve the vision. And when we get there, when we achieve the vision, we will understand a lot more about that path than we could have when we were on it. Ain't that the truth? We also discover that the vision the Lord gives us is for more than just us as individuals. Joseph's dream was about his brothers bowing down to him. It sounded like a very individualistic thing, but the full vision that God had for Joseph was so much more, so much bigger, and not just for Joseph. God's vision for Joseph was to save the lives of the people of Egypt and to save his family's lives, to save the covenant. God's vision was for so much more than just Joseph. I've been in ministry coming up to 32 years now. I figured out this week that I've probably preached somewhere around 1,800 sermons or so. And by word count, that's about 3.25 million words. Ministers talk a lot. I have prevented 3 suicides that I know about in ministry. I have challenged people, encouraged people, and I have ticked people off, because God's word is not always a happy thing, especially when it messes with our comfort. I have proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Him crucified and raised again. And I say this not to blow my own horn, but to say that God's vision for me that He gave me that day in August in 1982 was not just for me. That vision was not just for me. It was for everyone that I've met since then. And the same is true of your visions. Whatever the Lord has called you to, job, career, position, family, being a particular friend to a particular person or neighbor or church member or whatever the vision is, that vision the Lord has for you is for far more than just you. Through the living out of your vision, you can have a huge impact of all kinds of people along the way, along the path to achieve your vision. And you'll have an impact upon those for whom that vision has direct impact. God's vision for our lives blesses us as individuals. Think of Joseph. I mean, he had hard times, but in and through it, God blessed him. But in and through it, God also blesses others. God blesses the church. God brings glory to Himself. When we do God's will, when we are following His plan for our lives, following the vision He has for us, we bring glory to God. Or perhaps better put, God brings glory to Himself because of that. Whenever we do His will, whenever we submit our wills to His, it brings glory to God. And that's all also true about the church. The vision the Lord has for St. Paul's will probably be a bit of a roller coaster ride, going through places that we don't expect. But if we are faithful to Him in following the vision that He gives us, using our skills and our talents and our gifts to achieve the vision, He will see us through all of that, no matter how convoluted the path might become. In living God's vision for St. Paul's, like as for us as individuals, when we live out that vision, it will bless us as a church. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy and smooth and sweetness and light, but it does mean that He will bless us as a church. And it means that He will bless others through us. That He will bless this community around us. And He will bless individuals in this community through us. Perhaps even the city He will bless through St. Paul's, living out the vision He has for us. When we live out the vision that we have, that the Lord has for us, people will come to know Jesus as Savior, as Lord. People will grow in faith. People will grow as followers of Jesus. And we will bring glory to God. Or God will bring glory to Himself through us. We cannot know. We cannot know the impact we as individuals will have. We cannot know the impact we as a church will have. God knows. He knows the impact that we'll have. I'm good with trusting Him with that. But we will have an impact. If we are doing God's will, we will have an impact, and it will be positive, doing God's will. Consider what God did through Joseph. Consider what God can and will do through you. What amazing things He will do in and through you. Consider what God has done, is doing, and will do through St. Paul's. What amazing things is God going to do in and through St. Paul's as we follow Him? As in that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Following God's vision is about bending our will to God's will. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May God's will be done in my life as it is in heaven. May God's will be done in your life as it is in heaven. May God's will be done in St. Paul's
as it is in heaven. May God's will be done here, now, in the days and years to come, as it is in heaven. Let's pray together. Our loving, holy God, we thank you that you have will, that you have a good and strong will, and that you make your will known to us. And we thank you that your will is always what is best for us. Help us to understand that. Help us to grasp that. That even when our will and your will comes into conflict, it is what you will for us that is best for us. Perhaps not the most comfortable, but what is best? Best for us as individuals, best for us as a church, best for us as a community, best for us as citizens of this world. We thank you for the vision that you give to us. And that you reveal that vision to us in a variety of ways, sometimes through long and laborious journeys where it finally becomes clear, and sometimes through quick and fast experience. But we thank you that you reveal your will to us. You reveal your vision for our lives and for the vision of the church. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you in following the path that you set for us, each as individuals and collectively as a congregation. Help us to use the skills and the talents and the gifts that you have given to us. Help us to stay on the path to the vision and not be tempted off of it or wander off of it. And Lord, if the vision for our lives that we are following, or the vision that for the church that we will follow, if it is not of you, make that clear to us, that we might set course and always follow where you are leading. And in that, Lord, in our faithfulness to you, we pray that you would bless us, that you would bless others through us, that you would bless the community around us and bless the city of Ottawa. Do amazing things, Lord, we pray. Do amazing things with us and through us. And bring glory to your name. Bring blessing to your people. Bring blessing to this city. Our God, it is our desire that you be glorified. Whatever needs to happen for that to be accomplished, press us on in that direction, Lord. God, we pray for the people of Ethiopia today with the airline crash there this morning. We pray for your comfort and help and hope for families who have lost people. We continue to pray for Venezuela and the injustice there and the oppression there. We pray for every place where people are held in oppression, where there is injustice. We pray for your justice. We pray for your help, your intercession, and the hope that only you can bring. And Lord, we pray your grace and blessing upon those of our fellowship who are in need. We pray for Heather Hill in her own health concerns, but now in the concerns of her mother as well. We pray that you would bless her and be with Heather and Bob as they return home this week. Bless us all, Lord, that we should follow you and trust you and do your will and follow where you lead. Our God, all this we pray in the name that is above all names, that of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God calls us to return to him some of what he has given to us.
as a way of worshiping Him, as a way of His will being done and the work of His kingdom being accomplished. You can even use your phone now if you want to. Let us worship God as we give Him our offerings. We bring these gifts to you, gifts of our money, our efforts, our time, gifts from our skills and talents and spiritual gifts. We bring these to you to give you glory. Use them for the work of your kingdom in this place, in this community, in this world, for your glory's sake, Lord, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
My sisters and brothers, cast your crowns before him. May his will be done in our lives. Go from here following where he leads. The grace of Christ attend you. The love of God surround you. The Holy Spirit keep you, that you may live in faith, abound in hope, and grow in love, now and forevermore. Amen.